You got your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. This morning I'd like to speak with you about today's message, windage and elevation. Windage and elevation, how many know what kind of a term that is? Come on, hunters, what does windage and elevation mean? That's right. It's testing the sights. Windage is your cross this way. Elevation is your up and down. If you can get those things right in the center, then you'll hit whatever you're looking for. The term windage and elevation refers to, of course, sighting in a scope for the express purpose of hitting the desired target. Our windage is reliance on the Holy Spirit who guides us horizontally. In the second part of Sunny Side Up message, that's what I'm calling this message, is windage and elevation, our position in Christ who guides us vertically. Something I know about hunting, I don't know a lot about hunting, but I know that it's important to re-sight your scope every season. Is that right, Dwayne? You better re-sight it because it might have got bumped. Your eyesight might have changed. And then, of course, whenever you go to shoot that target, if you're not too nervous, hopefully you'll hit it. I want to talk this morning and ask the Holy Spirit's help that you and I would recalibrate our scopes, our spiritual scopes, to hit the target of our relationship with God right in the center. How many know it's God's intent that we live in victory? He makes provision for when we don't. It's called His mercy. He makes provision for when we miss the mark, called His grace. But His intent is that we hit the mark every time. How many know that's the intent of God? And so living below that is living below what God's expectations and provisions are for you and I. In Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 3:19, and before we get there, I want to talk about the need to achieve our sights in the right places to separate ourselves to the new covenant. One of the things that the Lord ministered to me all week this week while I was believing for healing is my mixture of the old and the new covenant. How many know that the old covenant has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ? Turn to somebody and say, the old covenant is fulfilled. So when I read in the Old Covenant the promises of God, those things have all been fulfilled in Christ. If I start to express a desire to be blessed by Old Covenant promises, I negate the power of the New Covenant in my life. Let me say that again. If I engage myself and desire to be blessed in the blessings of the Old Covenant that was made between God and man, who is called the law, if I ask for those blessings and desire to walk in those blessings, I negate the blessings of the new covenant because all has been fulfilled in Christ. If I choose to live under the old covenant and choose to live under the law, if I break one facet of those laws, I'm guilty of all the law. So I want to talk today about the fun part of living for Christ. He's already done it all. Now that really strikes at our prideful flesh, if we be honest. If Christ did it all, then I don't have anything to do. And after all, I need something to do. I need to be a part of this victory that's in my life. And God says, no, you don't. I've taken care of it all. All I want you to be is obedient. Because God, knowing our human flesh and knowing the things that we would like to do, says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Man, I got the victory. And you know how I got the victory? I spent 50 days fasting and praying. Lost 30 pounds. Lost 50 pounds. And now I've got the victory. All you did was get your flesh in line with what was already won. And if you'll believe God for it, you can walk into victory. Not that fasting and prayer is wrong. But if we do it for the wrong things, we put ourselves under the law that says, work, sacrifice is the only way I'm going to get victory. Galatians 3:19, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Verse 21 says, is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. The law has been complete. The law was good and holy and righteous because it had an end game in mind. And that end game was our high priest, Jesus Christ. The law led us to Jesus Christ so that everything could be complete in Him. So our worship, our focus, our energy, our strength comes from that one source, not from the law, not from something I've done. So let's take a look at this and break it down a little bit. Number one, the law was added because of transgressions, because Adam and Eve sinned, and God said this. God said, you want to know who I am? Let me tell you who I am. When Moses went up on the mountain, God said, here is what it's going to take for you to have a relationship with me. I am holy and unapproachable. No flesh can exist in my sight. No sin can exist in my presence. Here is who I am. Now here are the laws to obey so that you can have a relationship with me. Can you imagine how difficult it was for a nation? We read it. The examples are over and over and over and over and over again. Israel tried. They tried to live up to the law. Moses was a deliverer, and he went out into the wilderness, and the wilderness became a place of waiting. It was a waiting station, choice by men, not by God. God's choice was a straight linear line to the promised land. Man chose to live 40 years in the wilderness and die there. God made provision, but that was not God's intent. So transgressions, the law was added because of transgressions. It was appointed through a mediator, Moses, and angels. The law was not against the promises of God. It undergirded the promises of God. And we say, well, why didn't God send Christ right away? Why didn't He? Why didn't Christ come right after the 40 years? It wasn't the time that God had chosen before time began. Because men had to utterly try every way. Listen, read the Old Testament with eyes that will show the examples. First they wanted a king. Like all the other evil nations, Israel said, give us a king. God said, you don't want a king. Samuel said, you don't want a king. But God said, let them have what they want. They asked for a king. This is what's going to happen when they get a king. And what happened when they got a king? Exactly what God told them. Come on, someone. They tried to give themselves to the Lord. God said, you go a-whoring under every green tree. If there was a righteous king, everybody was okay. If there was an evil king, everybody went astray. So they accented on prophets. The prophets came and spoke the word of the Lord to the kings. all to bring themselves in this windage and elevation into this scope thing, into hitting the target. And God said, you're going to miss the mark every time because I'm a holy God. The law was not a tease to frustrate man. It was a teacher, a tutor, T-U-T-O-R, I'm sorry for the misspelling, to show us what demands must be met. No man was capable of pleasing a holy God. He could not just fix it. God could not look the other way. Perfection must agree with perfection. For God to have an equal to make covenant with, it had to be somebody that was as perfect as He. Come on, someone. Get this. If you get this morning, I promise you it'll change your life. God said, there's no man alive that can meet what I'm, because this is who I am, and God will not change. It's not that He can't. It's that He won't. God is self. He don't need anybody. He doesn't need, He's always been, always will be. There's nothing that He needs to add to or take away. He doesn't need to change to please anybody. And He can't. His character is changed. He says, behold, I am the Lord. I do not change. And so with this relationship that He was hungry for and passionate about and zealous for, and He over and over again showed His mercy, He'd scatter them, then He'd gather them. And He'd say, if you keep doing what you're doing, I'm going to scatter you to the ends of the earth. You're going to, all of your children will die. Everybody will die because you've left me and I can't protect you if you go out there. He'd say, if you repent, I'll gather you to myself. Over and over and over and over and over again in the old covenant, man tried to reach out to God and failed every time. Therefore, he became both mediator and participant for both sides. When nothing else would work, kings and priests and prophets and arks. Can you imagine? God saying, okay, I'll dwell among my people. If you want to see me, I'm in a 2x4 box. And only one person could see me, and they can't even see me. It's going to be dark when they come in. They sprinkle the blood and get out of there. See you next year. Can you imagine the frustration of man reaching out to God only to find Him in a golden box? The same God that said to David, I am God, I don't dwell in a house made with hands, chose to show His glory in a gold box. Where man reached a place in the fullness of time where man said, it's impossible, we can't do it, we can't reach God. And then you and I, that are filled with the Holy Spirit, we get frustrated and try to live under those same things. Listen, if they couldn't do it for 4,000 years, what makes us think we can do it in 40? We live under this weight. Oh, I gotta just be the right person. I gotta say the right thing. I gotta say, no, just have a relationship with Jesus. He already did it for us. Instead of becoming counselors with Christ, become tools and conduits of Christ. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. We cannot claim the blessings of the new covenant and access the old. We're walking in the new covenant. That means that's a covenant that God is paying attention to right now. It's not that the old covenant will not be the judge on judgment day. God gives us a choice. If we want to live under the law, we'll be judged by the law. How many want to be judged by the law? It's going to be a long line. We don't have to go there. Good news is the grace of Jesus Christ. The good news is He's already did it. Somebody say, He already did it. I don't care what it is that you're asking God to complete, or to do, or to walk in, or to be. He's already completed it. He's already did it. He's already walked in it. He's already is it. And when I enter into Him, when I walk in Him and allow Him to speak through me, I am it. I am victorious. When we mix law and grace, we will always get the law. When you mix the law with grace, you'll always get the law. Many, 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 many examples I could use where people mix the law and grace, where we put weights on us that are no longer there. How many know when the Bible says it's been fulfilled, what fulfilled means? It means complete, done, over. So anytime we go back and try to repair that or add to it or take away from it, we do our self-harm. God's already did it. Man, we're free. We ought to be joyous. We ought to be raucous. We ought to be powerful. We ought to be 10 foot tall and bulletproof, but yet we're still trying to prove something or be approved by. You are already approved by Christ. Why? Because you said yes to Him. In His side of the covenant, listen, it's the only prenuptial that really works. These Hollywood types that have the prenuptials. Are you going to stay married to me? If you don't stay married to me, once you divorce, you don't get nothing. If you won't sign this prenuptial, although we've been living together for 3 years, this is the only prenuptial that's guaranteed. Christ said, if you will, I will. If you say yes, I'll provide everything for you. If you say yes, I'll take all your sin. If you say yes, I'll give you all my blood. If you say yes, I'll give you all the victory. If you say yes, I'll give you all the healing. If you say yes, I'll do it all for you. All I want you to do is love me. Wow. That's all He said. He said this. He had the audacity to say such simple things like this. He says, here is my commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love each other as yourself. On this hang all the law and the prophets. Come on, someone. Now, either he was a liar, or he was a little bit like the guy that the fish got away. You know what I mean? I'll do everything for you, I promise. Wink, wink. And that's where the problem goes, because we relegate humankind to Jesus. Jesus is not a man that he should lie. Come on, someone. He said he'd take care of it. So when we mix the law, how do we mix the law and grace? It's not a chastisement when the scripture tells us to live in grace. It's a warning. If we live under the law, we'll be returned to the place of give and take, darkness and light, and all of that. Don't return to the law. Don't try to compete with the law. The law is, no man could do it for 4,000 years. And there were some pretty hefty guys lived during that time. What do you know? Under the old covenant, there was Daniel. There was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was David. There was Moses. There was Elijah, for Pete's sakes, riding on chariots. Elijah that struck the waters and caused an accident to float. I mean, these guys were pretty premier people. But none of them could achieve, and none of them found their way into heaven without Christ. In fact, God had to make a place for all the righteous dead until Jesus came and preached to them and set them free. Come on, somebody. And we don't have to do all that. Praise God. Come on, somebody. This is fun stuff. The enemy will try to push us back to the arms of the law every time. Forget about him killing us. You've heard me say, the enemy is not wanting to kill us. If he killed us, he'd populate heaven. He's wanting to make us unproductive. And you know what? In this generation, he got his wish. 95% of Christians will die, remember, having led one person to Christ. 95% of the body of Christ will die having never led anybody to Jesus. And we wonder why we're behind the eight ball. Come on, someone. Because we're all trying to live this perfect life. We're all trying to get it done. We're all trying to outdo each other. Let's have another seminar about 10 ways to pray. My goodness, just talk to God. Come on, somebody. 17 ways to walk in prosperity. Just believe the Scriptures. Come on, someone. Brother, you going to the seminar? What's the seminar about? How to pray. Do you ever wonder after 30 years the body of Christ has not grown at all? And we're still going to seminars, packing them out of how to pray? What have we been doing for 30 years? Come on, somebody. We ought to know how to pray. You know why we ought to know how to pray? Because we got the prayer living in us. Am I talking to the right people this morning? You got the prayer in us. A lot of times when we can't pray, we just open our mouth and let God pray through us. Maybe in that there left-handed language, you know. Hallelujah. Praying in another language. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what needs to be said. At the right time it needs to be said to set the captives free. The Holy Spirit knows what it is to pray. The Holy Spirit knows when He speaks through you and He's speaking to heaven, things will happen. He's not wanting to waste His time with, oh God, will you please bless my car? It's got 150,000 miles on it. Bless it to make it another 50,000. He said, don't worry about those things. You have the authority. Speak to the car. Come on, someone. You're going to run another 50,000 miles. Now let's get busy with what the kingdom has. Come on. Oh God, would you please help me? I don't know. I want to make it another 5 years, God. I come against this. In Jesus' name, I have authority. In Jesus' name, I speak to this sickness. I speak to this illness. And I say, you got to go in Jesus' name. Why? Because the prayer is in us. He's not outside somewhere. We just say, God, activate yourself in me. Rivers of living water flow from me. The enemy will try to push us back to the arms of the law. Oh, I've got to do this. If I don't do this, God's not going to be happy with me. I got to pray an hour every day, exactly an hour. If I don't pray an hour every day, God's going to be unhappy with me and I'm going to be on the outs with God. Can I tell you what? God loves you. You're not on the outs with Him. He died for you. And to the degree that you're stubborn and you need help, He already knew you were going to need help. Just yield to Him. I've always said, God does wonderful things in my life. I'm surprised, but He already had a plan. Don't look at me like that. Our life is a rerun to God. He already seen the whole thing. Yet He loves me and speaks to me and gives things to me. To make us believe we can please or displease God by our works is the enemy's plan. If we sin, somebody say if. If. Turn to 1 John 1:9. Turn to 1 John 1:9. It kind of irritates me that we missed the subject of the sentence. If we sin. Somebody read it. 1 John 1:9. If we do what? If we confess our sin. First we have to sin to confess it. The subject is if. If we confess our sin. First we have to sin. But if we sin, God forgives us of our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That's not the end of the relationship. That's a provision within the relationship. Come on, someone. That's like my wife whenever she's gone 3 or 4 days from the house. When she comes home and things aren't the way they're supposed to be, she'll put them back the way they're supposed to be and remind me the way they're supposed to be. It doesn't hurt the relationship. It just reinforces my priorities and her priorities. God doesn't want us to base our relationship on works. God will not judge us by our works anymore. By your words, you'll be justified. By our works, there's a review of what we'll do, but we're not going to lose our salvation over what we did or didn't do. It will never happen. If it happened, if God judged us by our actions after we've repented, it would negate everything that He did. The cross and the resurrection are based on victory. Romans 8. There therefore is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Say, in Christ Jesus. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How many are walking according to the Spirit today? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. Why did He come? On account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. That's said twice in four verses. If we walk in the flesh, we're going to be judged by the law. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Spirit-filled Christians that are still trying to please God by our works. We do the things we do for God because we love Him. Because He loves us. We naturally want to do what He says to do. Led by His Spirit. Turn to Jeremiah 31, 34. We talked about our windage being led of the Spirit, but what is our position? What is our position in Christ? No scripture says it plainer than these three or four verses. Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Can you imagine reading that as an Old Testament believer? Could not fathom that. What you and I take for granted every day, they could not fathom that. God to them was the pillar of fire in the cloud. The one that talked to one guy face to face. The high priest was supposed to know who God was once a year. He went into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled the blood, and that was it. Now you're saying that this new covenant is coming. What's this new covenant all about? Oh, that we could just embrace this new covenant you're talking about. God, the hunger that is within us to know You, but we know that our sin has separated us from You. And no man, we've tried to find a man, we've tried to elect kings, we've tried to appoint priests, we've tried to appoint holy men, we've made a whole tribe. You appointed the tribe of the Levites. Anybody directly associated with the Levites and was born in the Levitical tribe was a priest automatically trained and taken care of and knew the law and knew what your purpose was. God, aren't you pleased yet? God said, I'm going to make a covenant with you, with mankind, that's nothing like the old. So even in the midst of the old covenant, God's eternal intent was to make a new one. Why? It was not like the old covenant. The law went from tablets of stone to writing His law in our mind and in our hearts. Say, well, how do I know God's will? It's in your heart. How do I know God's direction in my life? It's in your heart. It's in your mind. Say, preacher, have you walked through my mind lately? It's a maze. I want to turn left, and God says turn right, and I don't know where I'm at. Faith. Trust. God's got it under control. This new covenant's not like the old. It's not walk an eighth of a mile and Sabbath day and this and that. It's not, you gotta be exact on everything you do, and it's not about all of that. Jesus already fulfilled all that. So He's sprung us to a position of being in Him. And where is He? He's at the right hand side of power. And where are we? That's exactly where we're at. He's jettisoned us all the way to the front of the class. He's put us all the way to the front so that our position is in Christ, so that everything we see and experience is from that position. We can choose to leave that and begin to struggle again and try to find God again. It's our choice. God's not going to make us stay, but He says you're welcome anytime. If you want to see this whole thing from my vantage point, just come here. Take a look. See all that? I've got it taken care of. He said, I will be their God and we will be His people. He is our God. All will know the Lord, from the least to the greatest. But we still are in awe of people with titles before and after their names. The most righteous, holy, Reverend, blessed man of God. Reverend so-and-so, DDMD, DDS, Dairy Queen, you know. Oh man, that guy's gotta know God. Look, the tickets are only $45. Let's go hear what he has to say about God. Let me tell you something, it's free. God lives in you. The greatest one, the Creator, God lives in you, and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives in you. I don't know anybody greater than that. Don't get me wrong. You say, well, should we ever go? Seminars and teachings and prayer conferences and all those things, those are all good, but we need to keep them in perspective. If we're doing them to please God, we're doing them for all the wrong reasons. God's already pleased with me. As long as I'm in Christ. He's looking at one lens, to me, focused on me. He is focused through the scope of what He looks for in windage and elevation. When He looks at me, He looks through Jesus right to me. He said, that's my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's my beloved daughter. Come on, son. Am I preaching another gospel? This is the fun part of living for Christ. He'll work all that other stuff out. All that stuff He's working on. The Holy Spirit's perfecting us. The Holy Spirit's using us. The Holy Spirit's ministering to us. The Holy Spirit's getting rid of all the other stuff that we don't need. The Holy Spirit's doing all that. That's His job. He knows exactly what He needs to do. We don't need to worry about those things. God says, just have a relationship with me. When it comes to getting rid of something, I'll help you get rid of it. When it comes to adding something, I'll help you add it. It's already here, now activate it. And we're focusing in on the scope. We're moving the scope. We're aiming. It's shooting at the target. Hitting it every time. Iniquity, it's forgiven. Our sin, our original sin, it's forgiven. Come on, somebody. And we are in our society. Somebody said, if God is your co-pilot, switch seats. Come on, somebody. In our society, we just get so Christianized. We get so Christianized. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Oh, what's that mean? We could use a little dose of I am perfect in Christ. Oh, you can't say that, Brother Rick. That's sinful. I'm perfect in Christ. Come on, say it to yourself. I'm perfect in Christ. See, if that's the position you take, God will work on all that other stuff. There's secret things that He's doing in your life. You don't need to broadcast that. Facebook doesn't need to know that you're trying to kick this thing or do that thing. People don't need to know that. Just stay with God. Be ready to be used by Him at every turn. How many times have we heard God doesn't make junk? It's not junk. God, this is not a game to God. He said, I came to complete all of that. Our direction and our position has changed. Turn to Galatians 2:16. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians is such an awesome book on this law and grace thing. And it really gives us some insight. Paul, in that book, by the way, says this statement, which is every time I read it, he said, I wouldn't even give myself to them even for an hour. Those that wanted him to go back up under the law. He said, I wouldn't even give them an hour appointment. He said some pretty cruel things. He said, I hope that they would cut themselves off. Go and find out what that means. I hope they would mutilate themselves. They wanted to spy into the liberty that I had in Christ Jesus. It's nothing to do with the Old Testament. The Old Testament is complete. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. He says it backwards and forwards. It's like the sentence is a run-on sentence. It's like a, why did you have to say it twice? Because he's just trying to get through our thick skull. We're not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. That we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Oh God, I just want to be blessed, coming in and going out. Lord, I want to be the head and not the tail. I want to be above and never beneath. So what are you talking about? You can't get any higher than heaven. You're seated with me in heaven, so what above are you talking about? Come on, someone. Blessed coming in, going out. You are blessed all the time. You're blessed in every place, in every position. You're blessed. I blessed you. Oh God, if I can only live like they... How many want to live like they did in the old covenant? Man, we'd put the clothing stores out of business. Clothes didn't wear out. Need a new shirt? No, thank you. Mine's perfectly fine. Need new shoes? No. Want to go to the restaurant? No. Food's provided every day. What's your plans? To die. What do you mean? Oh, I'm just waiting to die. See, I was 22 when this whole trip began, and so I don't get to go to the promised land. I just live here in the wilderness. See that pillar over there? That's God. Can't get near Him, can't talk to Him, but that we know it's Him. And it lights up the sky, so, you know, it's pretty cool. Con Ed doesn't, we don't need Duke Energy. But I might be dead at any time, because I get no guarantees between 20, but I know I'm not going to make it to the promised land. Man, we are filled with life. We'll never die. Our bodies will, as we've talked about, but we'll never die. We are translated from darkness to light. Woo-hoo! You mean I'm not blind in anything? No, I'm not blind. I could see. God has given me eyes to see and ears to hear. He said it over and over again in the transition between the old and the new covenant. He said, blessed are the eyes that see. To he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. In that bridge from the old to the new covenant, he says, I'm about to open your eyes and open your ears. I'm about to give it all to you. Translated from darkness to light. I'm no longer what the devil says I am. He doesn't even know my name, my address, or my history. I have a new history. I'm a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a new creation. That old person that was born, he's dead. He died with Christ. Romans 6, chapter 6 and verse 13. You are a new creation in Christ. Filled you with Himself. He didn't fill you with angels. He didn't fill you with a good thing. He didn't fill you with Holy Ghost electricity. He didn't fill you with the emotion so you got the goosebumps and go, oh, I hear Jesus. Oh, I see Jesus. And then you go home and kick the cat. And he filled you with him. How many have kids and you say, they're raised now, but to a lot of us, how many times did you say, boy, if I could just do it for them. Get out of the way and just let me do it. Tell the truth, how many of you help with the homework a little bit too much? It's in their handwriting, but it's not necessarily them. God does that every time. Listen to me, if we'll yield to Him, He does it every time. He works His works through me. I don't know how He does it. He fills me with Him so that when I open my mouth, it's Him that speaks. When I pray, it's Him that's praying. When I receive, it's Him that's receiving what He already planned for me. All I've got to do is agree. Wherever two or three have come in agreement, it will come to pass. Whatever I ask in His name, baptize you in water and in the Spirit. If you've been baptized in water, you made sure you were dead and now you're alive. You baptized in the Holy Ghost? Man, you've got the power of heaven residing in you. You are cleansed from all, A-L-L, unrighteousness. And again, He seated you in heavenly places. That's nothing that you got. You say, well, I wonder if my seat will be given to somebody else. I wonder if I'll be disqualified from that seat. You never be disqualified from that seat. As long as you obey, as you ask forgiveness when you fall, your position is never in danger. But the enemy keeps sucking you back to the law. Sucking you back to the law. Oh, you've got to, oh, there's certain things that I've got to do. God's displeased with me. I don't know if I'm in good standing with God. I don't know if He loves me anymore. I don't know. Holy Spirit, I can't feel you anymore. And He says, I've succeeded. And if you don't think that's happening, look around. The body of Christ is ashamed to speak about Jesus. Not to speak the truth. What's the worst that can happen? We go to heaven. Not only that, He defeats your adversary when you take authority. When you take authority, the Lord wins the victory. And if you're really speaking in Jesus' name, you don't need to say Jesus' name at the end of every prayer. Just in case we didn't know you were praying in Jesus' name. Just a thought. We become so perfunctory. We telegraph everything. And just speak the word of the Lord. God's in you. If you're yielding Him, we already know it's the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord in this situation, in this time. We're free. And when we being led by the Holy Spirit and not led by the flesh, because we have a choice, and whenever we are in the right position in Christ, it will hit the target every time. We'll bag our goal every time. We'll kill the enemy every time, in every situation. There won't be any loss. There'll be battles, but there'll not be a loss. I don't know about you, but I want the W column to be full every day of my life. I don't want any else. I don't want to have to fall to learn. I don't want to have to fail to learn. I want to walk in victory. I want to walk in that promise. My choice every time. God says, I've already done it for you. Today I'm going to ask the elders and their wives to come. You have all you need for life and godliness. And I want us this morning just to take a few moments and readjust our sights once again. I'm going to ask that you put some music on it. And the elders and their wives, if they would come. And if you need prayer, all we're going to do is agree with you that we would focus back in. Make sure that your sights are adjusted and that you're walking in victory. Don't let all this burdensome stuff happen to you. We've been studying some pretty awesome parts of Scripture. And it could be that you say, you know, I don't match up to any of that. We already know that you don't match up to any of that. But Christ in you does. Christ in you does, and to the extent that you yield to Him, you'll always walk in that victory. So as I pray, if the elders would come, Terry and I will be here. Please come and receive prayer as we worship the Lord. Father, thank You this morning, God, that You've given us the victory in all parts of our life. God, this morning as we focus our sights on the goal to walk in victory, help us to adjust, oh Father, make any adjustments that we need to, Father. Forgive us for walking in the flesh or being sucked back up under the law. Father, we want to receive all Your grace and mercy this morning. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please come.